Hi everybody, this is Brian Stavely from TheRealNewsOnline.com. What I have here is an audio clip that I pulled from an archive. This is a clip of Simon Shack on the Ab Arado show. For some reason on the archive, you can't access the timestamps when you play the file back at all, so I am re-recording it here so I can pull the audio clip for you guys because you all need to see this. As we all know, for many years, Simon Shack has push the theory or the notion that in 9/11, 100% of the video is fake. Now, I am in the line of thinking that there is definitely fake video, lots of fake video of the planes, maybe the collapses, I'm not sure, okay, but I also think there is real video. But if you would have gone on Simon's site, the September Clues forums, and suggested that some of the video may be real, it would have gotten you banned. I found this very interesting because a couple weeks ago he was on Ab Arado's show and he totally changed his tune, does a complete 180. He actually now says that, and I don't tend to disagree with all of this, but it's very surprising and startling that he would say this. He says that Tower 7 was filled with smoke machines because the plume that you saw on television was lasted so much longer than a real plume would. Well, what does that matter, Simon, if you think all the images are 100% fake? But he also now says that he believes the video of the plume is real and other video shot from the south side may also be real of the event. I think you guys all need to hear this for yourself because Simon Shack is doing a complete 180. So without further ado, I will play that clip for you now. Thank you.
People, right. Because they need to fake them, because so we have to be kept in, you know, in the idea that if we do like them, we are going to be killed off.
Right. If we start looking into it or speaking publicly, it's dangerous.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's another little psyop in the psyop, you see?
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio 1.
This famous week, 9/11, that at least you're saying there's so much material with which to work with and so much to expose and so much positive news. And the thesis news would be, of course, that people are not killed, as we are told, and therefore things aren't as bleak, things aren't as dire, things aren't as awful.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're being lied to on a daily basis by your so-called news that is supposed to be telling you what's going on. So isn't that in a way, yeah.
People have to get over the direness of realizing that they've been duped so much, so deeply. That is dire. That is a dire
That
thing.
Is bad news. That's the bad news, right?
That's the bad news. If they get over that hurdle, you know, to okay, I admit that I've been duped, which is the last thing any person will admit to in any social situation. If you are, you know, in a community with people and somebody, you know, takes the mickey of you and, you know.
Or tricks you out of your money is a big one.
Yeah, the last thing you want to admit is that you have been, you know.
There's shame.
Gullible.
There's shame. Yeah, there's shame in being duped.
It's a deep shame. It's a very, very, very hard psychological hurdle to overcome, to admit that you've been duped. And this is the problem we are against, really.
And it's a pretty disquieting, it's a pretty troubling feeling knowing that the news, which you get your reality from, your perception of the world, because you can't go out in the world every day. I can't go to Italy. I can't go to Africa every day. I can't get my reality firsthand. So I have to accept someone else's media to give me the news. Yeah. And because now you can't trust it, now in a way you're just a little bit more in the dark now. You really can't tell what's going on over here and there. And I've even said you can't tell what's going on in the street next door when they cordon it off and don't allow you to use your six senses to go witness it for yourself. And you have to literally go home to go turn on your TV or wait for your newspaper to come the next day or come onto the internet and find out what's happening.
Yeah.
And if you know you're dealing with confirmed liars, that to me is the biggest disappointment about this research. It's the biggest upset to me. That now
our reality is.
Well, we can't know what's going on.
We cannot. No. Okay, but it's upsetting. Of course, it's upsetting. Of course, it's upsetting. But the realization that this is the case, to me, is positive.
You think it's a
good
thing?
Something bad?
Okay.
Yeah. It's because you don't really need a television in your house, because where do you get your information? On TV, or now on internet,
right?
And
but how are we supposed to know what's going on in Italy?
Internet is
India
is allowing us to talk. Internet is allowing us to talk for now,
right?
Who knows for how long this will be possible,
right?
But What are you asking about Italy?
Well, I'm just wondering, how are we going to get our information from the other side of the world? How are we going to know what's happening here and there when we've just now established that?
That's a good question.
We're dealing with confirmed liars. We've really, that is the biggest exposure.
How do you know what's happening in Ukraine? You know,
we don't get to know. Now we can't know.
The planes that fall all over the place. I mean, how do we know that? What we can do and what we do on the forum is we look at what the Associated Press and Reuters pictures give us.
We look what they give us, and we
they are laughable. They are absolutely laughable. You know, they are ridiculous. So we can understand that what they are trying to sell us is false.
Yeah. Right.
So it's just that that's a good thing to know, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we bother about it? I mean, we are living in our own places. We don't really, it doesn't really affect us.
Right.
If a fake plane crashes in Ukraine or anywhere
in Malaysia,
else, or it shouldn't really. Maybe the good message. But okay, I spend time looking at it, and I waste maybe my time looking at these fake events.
Yes.
But because that's my passion.
Right.
It would be good if you know, you could do just click, you know, with your fingers and say, and make people understand that you don't have to believe what they tell you on TV. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Don't believe it, because 99% or maybe 88 or whatever is of the stuff on the news is propaganda. It's propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
It's made for a purpose. There is an agenda going on to dumb down the people and to tell stories for whatever reason. Mostly geopolitical reasons, but also, really, I think the motivation is that they just want to keep us, the people, in a haze, you know, in la la land.
Right.
We have to understand completely different things of what really is going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be fed with fake information. That's their agenda.
Yeah, they want to keep us off balance, off kilter, out of the loop.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
off balance.
And it just so they can maintain their status, their higher status, their control, their elevated status, their power over us, I guess.
Yeah. We have to be kept off balance, never understanding anything of nothing,
right?
And just, you know, buy the stuff they give us, and keep working hard to make a living, and you know,
keep
for
busy.
This to make this paper money that they print, because the people behind this are the same people who print our money. So it's a really silly planet we live on. It's a really silly planet. This planet is really stupid. I hope there is another planet somewhere which has a more intelligent population. But this planet has gone completely crazy. Well, and what is the first thing they tell us? We researchers, we are crazy. We're the crazy ones. We are completely, cuckoo.
Are there any posts we can wrap the show up with tonight that you'd like to feature? One of the most recent ones, of course, that I highlighted on my website. And if you go to the right side of my website and click on categories and then choose the category from the drop-down menu called Clues Forum, September Clues, you'll get the posts that I have highlighted of Simon's mostly from cluesforum.info. And the one that you recently did was on Building 7, which I thought was really good. It really hit me as a really good post.
It's my latest musing, which I actually think it's interesting because it explains, well, it would, if it's true, this is speculation, but it explains why it goes to explain in a way why this bloody World Trade Center 7
building 7
stayed building 7
yeah
building 7 was stayed up until 5:30, we are told.
That's right.
This might be true. I try to believe that. So why did it stand up until 5:30 in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and here we go to a very important thing that I have never seen anyone talk about this question. When you go back to the 9/11 imagery of that day, mm-hmm. you can see the whole of Manhattan, not only lower Manhattan, but the whole of Manhattan is covered in smoke.
Right.
Well, no building demolition will produce that much smoke. Too much, and for that long. I mean, you can go and see all the building demolitions you like. There are many, many videos you can see of building demolitions on YouTube, if you like.
CDI Group, Loiseau Group, yeah. They have a channel. Look at it.
And on the ones that show you a long shot of the demolition, you will see that the dust settles in a matter of minutes. In a matter of maybe 5 minutes, the dust produced clears. By the collapse
it clears. Yeah,
it just settles. Well, now you might argue, well, the two twin towers were very big.
And full of concrete and asbestos.
And full of concrete. Or there were so many other buildings involved. But still, it's just too much smoke over Manhattan.
For too long.
And for too long. So where did that smoke come from? Well, so since we have... I know this is a bit difficult to wrap your head around, because I'm saying that most of the imagery of the day is fake.
Yes.
So how can we trust any imagery? But there is imagery of the Building 7 with the whole of the south side
smoking away, or fuming.
Smoking away.
Fuming.
South side. Well, the south side of the Building 7 was directed towards the towers.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, Building 7 was a 47-story, like half the height of the towers. It was just, it was standing right in front of the towers. What better place to put smoke generators than that south side? So that you could justify that the smoke was coming out from that building because they told us that it was hit by debris from the first collapse. And so it started fuming, all this smoke. But, in all the imagery we have this enormous smoke plume coming out of Building 7 from the back of it. Which is the back of it is facing Taurus.
All right.
Okay. So I'm just speculating that if, well, I think, I really think smoke generators were used. Mm-hmm. And on my website, I show what kind of smoke generators were available in 1943. Right. Even in 1943, they had, you know, they people don't know about military smoke generators. They are extremely powerful. They can make they can cover an area in no time with smoke. So imagine in 2001, what kind of smoke generators they had in 2001, mm-hmm. as opposed to 1943. So if they put smoke generators in the World Trade Center 7 South Side, that was where the smoke came from. And that was perfect for them to have Building 7 being the generator of smoke to cover that area. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Now, we know that World Trade Center 7 was Mayor Giuliani's emergency management headquarters. Mm-hmm. It was a U.S. Secret Service headquarters and only a few other tenants, the Solomon brothers.
Whatever. And it had a large autonomous power plant with diesel fuel in the middle of it. That's what we were told.
That's what we were told, that the reason why all this it caught fire was a debris fell on that autonomous power plant, and that's why it started, you know,
smoking,
burning.
Yeah.
Smoking. So it just dawned upon me the other day that, wait a minute, isn't that maybe where the smoke originated? It was coming out from the back of Building 7. And that's why also Building 7 has been taken, you know, as an example by the controlled opposition, like, you know, the example of, that's the real big mystery. Why did it fall down at 5:30? Well, it had to fall down later, because if it had to cover Manhattan for all that day, it had to fall down later.
Right.
Because it had to keep gushing out smoke from it.
Yeah.
So
makes sense.
And I think it makes sense a little bit because like in a good friend of mine from Brazil, a member of our forum, he said, "Well, yeah, but they normally have these smoke generators on mobile units." Yeah, but I don't think they use mobile units, you know, on the street, because how could you justify that the smoke came up from the streets? Mm-hmm. They could justify that smoke came out of World Trade Center 7, because it's a building which they just told us it was hit by debris, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it caught fire, and that's why you see all the smoke coming out of it. So if that was if Building 7 was a smoke generator, it all explains where that smoke came from.
Absolutely, yes.
Doesn't it?
It's a good theory to me. It makes sense to me.
Where was the place? You know, you have where was the place where the smoke came from?
And even though we can't verify any of the imagery, because we say, as you've said, that it's most likely pre-produced, the timelines, one would think, would somewhat have to match whatever was happening in the area.
You have to ask yourself, why did the 9/11 planners decide to have Building 7 fall down in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's when it happened, right? We have to assume,
We have to assume that. But, you know, I think what they tried to do, I mean, anybody who would have planned this would have tried to plan it so it resembled as much as possible what we saw on TV.
So there was some syncing between reality and what the show.
It had to resemble as much as possible. I mean, anyone who would have been, you know, sitting down there planning this thing, he would have thought, well, we want even bystanders and lookers to see something which looks what we show on TV. Okay?
Right.
So that's my reasoning, and that's the last post I made. Even that was tonight.
Tonight.
I made it a couple of hours ago.
Yeah,
I made this post a couple of hours ago just to explain a bit more my thought. Anyone who would have planned this would have obviously really carefully tried to stage a copy of David Copperfield
quality
event.
Hopes. Yeah.
That would be as close as possible as what was shown on TV.
Right.
What we were shown on TV was that the Building 7 collapsed on 5:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, and they reinforced that over and over again. They made that a clear point all the
time. So I tend to believe that they actually demolished Building 7 at 5:30.
Yes, that would be reasonable.
And then there was a little BBC glitch where they reported it fell a little bit before, but that
right.
I mean that's just them, and they're clumsy, these guys. I mean you can't
be perfect.
You can't be perfect. I mean imagine the
and they explained it away a million times.
Imagine the problems that can come up with such a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So they had some problems, of course, and the BBC had to. They never explained it.
No, they just left it. They left it, really.
They just left it. The BBC just said, "Oh well, you were." Anyway, so I think the Building 7 really collapsed later on, like 5:30 maybe. So why would they have done that? What was the reason for that building to stay, for having been demolished almost at dusk, because I don't know at what time the sun goes down on September 11. But anyway, it's
probably
close
6
to dusk.
Or 7, really, but still.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, you know, at 5:30, it goes down. It had done its job. It had completely clogged the whole of Manhattan in smoke. It was full of smoke, the whole of Manhattan. So they could have, that's what the timeline when they thought, okay, now we can put it down. It has done its work. Yeah. It has filled Manhattan with smoke.
Right. That's when they can lift the curtain. That's when they can lift the curtain, just like
let's bring down the Building 7. And the Building 7 had all these smoke generators in it. So let's just destroy them.
Right.
They will be gone. Nobody will see them.
Right,
you know?
Of course. You don't have to drive any smoke generators out of the area because they're in the building, and get rid of them.
Perfect, perfect. So that's what I think, that Building 7 was the smoke generator of the day. That was where the smoke came from.
Yeah, and all the explanations afterwards about the building building fuming away all day, that could be explained easily away by all these extra theories from the Jim Fetzers and the Judy Woods that have all their theories, and you have that as a point as well.
Exactly. Okay, so let's say this, and maybe we can close now.
Yeah.
After,
and we'll play a bit of some new music as well.
Okay. Yeah, I sent you a song we just recorded. Judy Woods and Jim Fetzer, what are they saying? They are, they are pretty important people within the research community, right?
Oh, yes.
Judy Wood has this book, and many people are.
They're there for anyone that is looking into it like we do. And for anyone who spends a lot of time and puts a lot of effort into looking into this will always land on these squares.
They will land on there. Okay, so what are they saying? Judy Wood is saying that the. The towers were brought down by classified, secret, directed energy weapons, which dustified the towers in small, small particles.
Molecules.
So isn't it a perfect way to, you know, kind of try to justify all this smoke?
Right. And she said Building 7 was fuming. She said it was fuming due to a magical process. It was not smoking. It was fuming.
Oh, did you say that?
Yes. It was fuming because of the way the videos portrayed the smoke sort of generating out like, well, not like a fire, but like a smoke machine. I mean, if she wants to,
just very shortly, both Judy Wood and Jim Fraser are saying that those buildings were pulverized. They were dustified. They were vaporized, you know?
Yeah.
So, because that would make somebody who uses his brain, maybe put his brain to rest and thinking, oh, that's why all this smoke was covering Manhattan.
Yeah. A secret energy weapon or
mini nukes. One of the worries the planners might have had that intelligent people would have wondered, why the fuck was Manhattan covered in smoke? So much smoke. Yes, because they were dustified, you see. They were completely rendered in very, very small particles. So that's what the smoke was.
But okay, everybody. So there you have it. Simon Shack does a complete 180 on the Alberto show. What do you guys think about this? Because he has always been so strongly of the stance that 100% of the video has to be fake. It's a way of writing off a lot of the evidence. I mean, almost to the point of what's the point? You already know it's all fake. But then he makes these statements now. These are the very statements that got people banned off his site, got me personally attacked, and many others before me attacked pretty vigorously over suggesting that some of the video from Manhattan that day is real. I've always stood on that ground. Been on the fence about the collapse footage. I think it's probably fake, but if it's real, I mean, I could definitely be wrong. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't think there's enough solid evidence proving that. But his ideas of the smoke machine and all this is things that we have suggested before. And no, we aren't the first people that came up with that idea. I'm not trying to take credit for it. I'm just saying that these are the things we have suggested and have gotten attacked for. So leave your comments below. There's a comment box at the bottom of this page on the left. Let me know what you think.